No, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to stand before you and present a portion of God's Word. I appreciate this congregation for placing the trust in me to have a lesson ready for you all. And hopefully something I have to say will be beneficial for each and every one of you here in attendance. And of course, most importantly, well-pleasing to God. You know, I'm going to give myself away a little bit in this lesson. I'm going to, hopefully you can find yourself in some of the things that I have to say. Because, you know, really, from just the story that we're going to go over, Numbers chapter 11, it's really been in the case of people's lives all throughout time that people have gotten to the brink, gotten to the point of really frustrating moments. And I'm not just talking about spiritual aspects, wherever you're trying to do various things and you're trying to get better and you don't really see the progress, but I'm also talking about in times of which you try to keep your feet shown with the preparation of the gospel of peace, if you will. Right? You know, you want to always be peaceful with everyone, but it can be difficult at times to do. And I want to really emphasize that we are not alone in that situation. In fact, a very well-known, influential individual in the Bible has gone through something very, very similar to what we experience, although a little different, but the overall solution is the same. And again, that can be found over there in Numbers chapter 11. Beginning in verse 4, we can kind of find where really that frustration is starting to build up. It says over there in Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 4, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting," or in other words, an intense craving. "And the children of Israel also wept again, saying, 'Who shall give us flesh," or meat, "to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes," or bread, if you will. "And the manna was a corridor seed, and the color thereof as the color of bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it in mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil." It says in verse 9, "And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell again." You know, for a short while this morning, I wish to look at this situation that, again, a very faithful servant of God endured, similar to what we may experience in our lives from time to time. I wish to speak on situations that we might find ourselves on our wits' end, at the brink, if you will, or the height of our frustration. And again, the main portion of our text will come from here, at Numbers chapter 11, of which I've entitled, "On the Brink." And you know, like I said, many faithful people, even congregations as a whole in the Bible, have been recorded as facing, in particular, spiritual fatigue, and advised us how to overcome it. But consider for just a short while this morning, a well-known, influential individual, often referenced as being Moses, listed in the Hall of Faith over there in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 29, not for being perfect, not for any situations in which he could possibly get angry, he did not, no. Instead, it was not for succumbing or falling to his fatigue, but overcoming it. But we do find Moses face to face, if you will, with his limit at one point, or as some would say, on the brink, over here in Numbers chapter 11. And to give some context here, in the previous chapter, chapters 10, we know Moses was tasked by God to lead the children of Egypt from the Egyptian bondage to a foreign land that God had promised in Exodus chapter 3. And this was a long adventure. In the previous chapter, Numbers 10, Moses was leading these children of Israel from the wilderness of Sinai to the wilderness of Paran, and concluding here, and later what is known to be named Kibroth Hattaavah. And it is here, beginning in verse 1, that the children of Israel, lo and behold, as we all expect, began to complain, as they often do. And their complaints at this time was mainly due to the fact that they were eating only manna, or bread, that God sends, no meats. And their complaints of the people kindled, as the Bible would say, kindled the anger of the Lord and upset Moses. And those complaints continue into the night when the manna or bread came again. And this is where we find Moses coming to the brink, to his brink, to nearly succumbing to his own spiritual fatigue, if you will. In Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 10, it says, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted me? Or why are you doing this to me? You know, situations where you're like, hey, haven't I been doing good? And why is this happening all of a sudden? Moses was feeling that. He says, wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Whence should I have flesh or meat to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. And listen now, Numbers 11, verse 14. This is Moses to God, a very influential person in the hall of faith. He says in Numbers 11, verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And he says in verse 15, if thou deal thus with me, or in other words, if this is what you have in store for me, Lord, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Have you ever gotten to that moment where you're asking God, please, God, let me get out of this situation? I know, I'm in customer service. And sometimes I have to close my eyes and I have to say, God, don't let me show up with some bad side of me. This is really how Moses is feeling. But you know, listen now, these words from Moses seem very dramatic, if you will, but they're also revealing. Dramatic because, again, we find Moses, a very well-known and often referenced servant of God, praying for death. An act of desperation that we would not expect from such an esteemed person in the Bible, but also revealing. And listen now, because these words really overall show the mental fortitude of even a faithful servant in the eyes of God. Remember, he's in the hall of faith, not because he was perfect, but because he trusted in God and leaned upon him and used his faith to get through. Although Moses had led these individuals for quite some time before this incident, leaning upon God and prevailing, he finds himself weary from the complaints of these lesser faithed individuals, tired from the task that God had given him. Have you ever found yourself in these shoes? Fatigued from whatever opportunity or endeavor that you face that God believes you can handle. It's on your plate, so God believes you can handle it, spiritually or worldly. Maybe it is spiritual, such as striving to be a better preacher or a leader, songwriter. Hospitality is something big. We're teaching kids or even newborns in Christ the mindset of a Christian through various scriptures, being open and willing to be hospitable nearly at all times. Or dealing with people that know the Bible but are so grounded in what they believe that they won't budge. You know, not only the process, but the progress overall can be frustrating. And I don't think I need to mention what we deal with in the world in terms of fatigue. But listen, God provides us help today, just as he had for Moses so long ago. But you know, first I wish to dive into what it looks like when we are on the brink. You know, some cases such as Moses' fatigue is made obvious through anger and frustration. But like I said, similar to us, I do believe, similar to our own frustration, Moses' frustration was built up, his endurance was dwindling. His frustration stems all the way back to Egypt. With the help of God, he separated the Red Sea for them to walk on, referenced in Exodus chapter 14. He supplied water in miraculous ways, such as Exodus 17. But here in Numbers 11, Moses was on the brink. It's similar to us. Really, whenever I was studying this out, I couldn't help but think of my own self. I've gone through situations where I'm like, Lord, how am I going to get through this? And then all of a sudden, 2-3 months goes by, and I'm like, huh, that's out of the way. I don't even remember really how I felt about it. But then another situation comes on, and I'm like, Lord, how am I going to get through this? It's like we kind of forget where we already been and how God has already helped us. But in that moment, we can only really focus on what we're dealing with in that very moment. You know, sometimes I imagine as I find myself, Moses looking up to the sky, asking God how to endure. You know, sometimes our wits can be as loud as verbally, a changed tone, or maybe a frustration is loud without a word being said, right? That awkward silence, if you will, trying to get the point across without having to say it. My point is, do we understand? Do we know when we are at our breaking point? And do we consider what it looks like to others? As we try to be the light in this world, it's hard to shine that light when you have the attitude that comes with being angry. But you know, the Apostle Paul notates the points I wish to make very well to the church of Galatia. In particular, here Paul warns the church of Galatia over there in Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, "And let us not be weary or grow tired in well-doing." What is well-doing? Whether in action or conversation, spiritual work such as teaching, housing people, guiding and learning, keeping your feet shod with the peace of the gospel at all times. All of that can be difficult. But listen, it says, "And for in due season we shall reap." What does that mean? Benefit from our efforts, gain the reward, if we faint not. You know, although the Apostle Paul doesn't dive too deep into how to overcome our fatigue in this verse in particular, he does emphasize how we can all face, or how we can all feel in facing our limits. The feeling of wanting to give up or create space from the situation as a whole. And God knows as well. He also provides us help to endure, just as he provided Moses, leading to our next verse in Numbers chapter 11. Beginning in verse 16, where God says to Moses, "Listen now, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest," or "you know," "to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee." What is he saying? Find someone willing, strong, and influential. Why? In verse 17, God says, "And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." You know, when we feel we are at a spiritual wall, fatigued by the grind of life, or we feel we are at our max capacity for our spiritual capabilities and responsibilities, do we turn to others to lean on? Do we make others comfortable enough in us for them to lean on us? Like I said, throwing myself out there, when I look up to the sky, or I'm staring out and out the window washing dishes, or just staring into my computer at work, I sometimes overlook, right, those that who could help me. The very people that are in front of me, the very people that live around me. It's that feeling that only you and God are left that acknowledge and understand the situation, have any pull or tug towards it, similar to Moses. You know, shouldn't we all strive to help each other realize that we are truly here for each other? It does require time and energy to be spent, regardless from either side of the fence, whether you're the person looking up to God or you're the person not seeing that person, acting a little bit different, or maybe they had a situation, they're just like, it's nothing. Do we try our best to go turn to each other? Do we make our shoulders lean upon, be able to be leaned upon? You know, again, we may not have 70 people that come to be consideration during our situations. I personally really don't wish to really emphasize my problems with various individuals, but each of us should strive to be one of those 70 people considered to all men, especially the children of God. But you know, the only way to be considered to be leaned on is by our character and deeds, by what we do for each other, by our attitude and willingness whenever someone asks. Similar to God's command and qualifications to Moses, to find those that he knew were positive and spiritual influencers of the faith. Moses would only know because he's seen it before, because they've already displayed it to the people around them, and they've gotten confidence from others. You know, a very familiar verse. Our next verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul states to Galatia pretty simply. He says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith." You know, this is how we gain confidence in others to rely on us in times of need or fatigue. The same way those selected by Moses gained and kept the confidence of others. And it's exactly what God expects from us. To be there for each other in whatever opportunity we have, whether lending an ear to a problem, providing study time or insight for understanding, guidance through a situation as a whole to alleviate stress, or simply offering a shoulder to help someone up whenever and whatever way. This is what God meant by finding those to help Moses bear all these people, to find those that he knew were positive and spiritual influencers of the faith. And it's the same command God gives us. Through Paul to Galatians, Galatians 6, verse 1 through 2, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness." This involves the attitude, willingness. This involves understanding of somebody being in a situation that maybe you haven't faced, but you have an understanding that they can slip up sometimes and they need some help. And also knowledge to approach the person. It says, "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, that "so fulfill the law of Christ" is something I want to touch on a bit later, but for now, do you see the point? Whether you see Moses on his knees or standing up and looking towards the sky, he was talking to God on the brink. And am I alone in that situation? Me and Moses, at least. No, I'm sure I'm not. Feeling as if only you and God acknowledge the situation, or the fatigue and care, forgetting everybody that's in between you and your eyes looking up at the sky. We can't forget about each other in those moments. It's our responsibility to shine that light, encouraging others by doing good whenever we have the opportunity, especially for fellow Christians. But let us never forget that God is on our side. And he will provide for us the help to endure, just as he does for Moses. And this goes back to Numbers 11, wrapping up what happens there, beginning in verse 18, where God tells Moses, he says, "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month." Listen, verse 20, "even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome to you, you'll be tired of it. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" You know, really that overall point here is, have you ever really asked for something and you got a little bit more than what you wanted? This is exactly what happened to these individuals. And God does fulfill this promise. Over there in verse 31, it says, "And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp. It was as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth." You know, safe to say, that's a lot of fish. Really, no Google is needed for that. You know, open for discussion after services, I do believe that God's wrath at the very end of Numbers chapter 11 is due to some individuals indulging so much in the fish, enjoying themselves, that they show just how ungrateful they were with the bread that God had provided. And that's really a good message for us to kind of study and to make sure that we stay right in line with what we need. And being grateful for everything God provides. But my overall point for this message here is that God provided for Moses and the children of Israel similar to how he will help us today. Now, God won't make it rain fish necessarily, but as it was, just as Moses turned to God, the Apostle Paul suggests the same to Philippi and to us today. Very familiar verse over there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Be careful," or "worry." Don't be anxious about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." And he assured the church in verse 19 of chapter 4 that "my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Do you believe that remains today? When you need food, a mental or physical relief, God will provide. It's an assurance given by Jesus himself in Matthew 6, giving light that God will supply. The very God that supplies food for the birds, as verse 26 notates, and nutrients for the grass to grow, as from verse 30. How much the more will he clothe us? You see, Moses endured his spiritual responsibility for a long time, similar to us, clearly getting tired at times, as we know. Just as we do, studying with kids or trying to study with an individual, working on a song and working on being a better preacher, and you get a little tired over time.
And during those times, God supplied in a way according to His grace. But the feeling of being on the brink for me personally, as I mentioned before, distracts me from considering the support right in front of me. The very individuals that I can turn to and ask for help, ask for an ear. And also the power above me. As mentioned, you go through times and then you get through those and you say, thank God that's over. And you get to this time and you're like, there's no way I can get over this. We forget the power that God has. Similar to Moses asking how to endure the task at hand. Now that concludes my points of looking to others and the support that God will provide. But what do we do in the heat of the moment, in the brink moment, whenever you kind of feel your blood boiling, whenever somebody's standing there testing you, what do? Focus in on Jesus. You know, Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 really sums up my points here in overall lesson. It goes back to fulfill the law of Christ. It says over there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, you know who's included in that great cloud of witnesses? Moses. Listed in the hall of faith, Hebrews 11. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and is set down, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. We can help each other with that if we're willing and able to, one, ask, and two, for somebody to actually be willing to do it. It says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right-hand throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own mind. If you're feeling faint in your mind, deep in anger, troubled in whatever moment you're facing, look to Jesus. He was mocked, beaten, spat on, and died on a cross between thieves. He endured this treatment for those who were doing it and for us later. It was a spiritual God-given task, of course, that he tried to warn those closest to him that he was going to have to endure. Not only did they not acknowledge it, but they didn't even believe it in general. But at the time Jesus needed, and really at the time when Jesus needed somebody the most, whenever he went up to his disciples, he said, just stay with me for 1 hour, and they couldn't even do that. Jesus needed God, of course, to send down the Holy Spirit to strengthen him. You know, brothers and sisters, we're not alone in that moment. We're not alone in the moments of which we feel that we are weighed down and burdened. But we need to realize that we need to be there for each other. Sure, God will supply his power for us. We can look towards Jesus and realize that even though he gone through all the very things that can really irritate and boil our blood, he did still that deed with a great attitude. We also need to be able to rely on each other. In moments of which we're looking up at the sky, asking God how to endure. And remember, we shouldn't sleep on each other when we know someone is struggling. Be there for them, acknowledging the situation, and do good wherever the opportunity lies. The lesson is yours. I certainly hope and pray that something I had to say was beneficial for you. After hearing the word this morning, as we can find in Hebrews 10:17, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe in those words. Believe as we find in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. Of course, we must repent of our sins as we find in Luke 13:3. I tell you nay, unless you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Of course, we must acknowledge God, or Jesus, being the Son before men. As Matthew 10, verse 32 states, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You know, you can also deny that you know Jesus before others. And that is usually in the times in which we're on the brink, and we're kind of slow to, we're quick to anger, and really kind of quick to actions. But again, if we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as Matthew 10, verse 32 suggests, then we are taking the steps to get saved and to finally be baptized, even if you're a believer, as Acts 2, verse 38 suggests. But maybe you were on the brink. Maybe you shined a light that you did not wish to shine. Moses, I'm sure, is displeased in his reactions to that, but he was able to ask for forgiveness at that time, and we can too. If you be one of either class, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?